Welcome to the annual budget hearings for the City and County of Denver's next fiscal year. This session of the annual budget hearings begins now.
Okay, y'all, let's get started. Good afternoon. My name is Chantel Lewis. I represent District 8, and we are going to dive in after a few words from the mayor's office. So, take it.
Thank you. I just wanted to briefly open with a little bit of reminder for the public and for council, just sort of our relationship with the airport. So today's our day of our somewhat different agencies. So this morning we have the library, who's a separate entity. The airport actually is one of our city departments, just like all of the other departments we have. But what makes them unique is that what you won't see on this page is a contribution from the general fund to their budget. So they have their own different types of revenues and sources that they'll walk through with you today. And there's some special considerations with how they operate because of our partnership with the FAA and the federal funding that they provide. So with that, Bill,
over to you. I just would like to remind council members to make sure you submit all of your questions before midnight tomorrow to Angela, and you will get your answers at some point. I don't know, she told me.
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning, exactly what I was going to say. Bill, take it away.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, thank you for having us here. We are going to tag team this presentation, myself, our Chief Financial Officer, and our Deputy Financial Officer, Mike McCornkett, and Michael Hill. Today our theme is Connecting Denver. And we picked this theme of Connecting Denver because that's what we're doing. We are connecting Denver to the world. We are connecting Denver to our local community through our Center of Equity and Excellence in Aviation, and also connecting historically underutilized businesses that includes veteran-owned businesses, women-owned businesses. We're connecting Den to the world through that. Next slide. Our recommended budget action today is approval of $1.72 billion, and this is about a 13% increase over 2024. It reflects 10% passenger growth from 77.7 to 85 million annually in 2025. We have reported specifically to the bids committee that the airport was built for 50 million annual passengers, and last year we were at 77.8 million. This year, 2024, we are estimating about 82 million, and for 2025, we have an estimate of 85 million, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move along. Next slide, please. In line with the administration, you can see our vision and mission. We've embraced this vision and mission. We want to be the nation's preeminent aviation thought leader in this country. We also want to do it through the power of our people to be the best in class. Next slide. Some of our Denver goals, and we have shared with the council our Vision 100. You have seen our pillars many times. Our goals, one, climate goals. We have been really hard at work to make sure that we are sustainable, resilient. And so these are in no particular order, but climate goals is very, very important to us in prioritizing carbon neutrality for the airport. We are working on a number of pilot projects. We have one of the largest solar arrays in the country for an airport, and so the climate goals are very, very important. Obviously, our capital plan implementation. We showed the City Council some time ago, maybe the Biz Committee, our journey map. And so the way we look at things is this journey map, starting at home, how you get to the airport, Peña Boulevard, transit, whatever, and all the way until you get on the aircraft, on your plane. And so that journey map that we have really ties to much of the capital project implementation. Obviously, completion of the Great Hall, that's going very, very well now. All projects on schedule and under budget as well. Improving security, of course, and revitalizing the older parts of the concourses and the older parts of our facilities. And I would add to that asset management, which is a big priority for us as the airport's infrastructure ages. And I would include increasing the capacity of the train to the concourses as well, which we have been doing. You've read about the new train cars that we are commissioning right now. Added to that, and as you think about that journey map, Peña Boulevard, the planning for Peña Boulevard, we are in the throes right now of a transportation demand management plan that has 20 strategies that we are working through. We're going to bring a consultant on to help us work through these strategies for reducing congestion on Peña Boulevard. And then lastly, global connectivity. We have been in discussions with various international cities and airlines around the world. You have read about our success with Dublin. You have read about our success with a direct flight from Istanbul. And I believe that we are very, very close to getting a direct flight to the continent of Africa. You've seen this slide before. We've talked about this. The upshot of this one is it's really as we move towards 100 million annual passengers, this red horizontal line or this red vertical line in the middle says that we thought as recently as last year that we would not hit 100 million annual passengers until 2032. What we're finding out now in the more recent forecast is that we will likely hit 100 million annual passengers as soon as 2027, 2028. And so the urgency in which we are looking to build and rebuild infrastructure at this airport is a priority of ours. We have also talked about, in addition to Vision 100, we have talked about Operation 2045. And since I'm a former Army guy, I had to put the word operation in there. But Operation 2045 says, and by the way, this is when our airport turns 50 years old. And so Operation 2025 says that we will begin to lay the foundation for forecast that we have now of 120 million annual passengers a year. So we're beginning to lay that foundation with what we call the North Terminal expansion, early work on various other assets that are out there at the airport. But this is even more relevant now and for 2025 as we realize even more growth. And as I mentioned, 2025, we are estimating about 85 million annual passengers. Next slide. These are just some of the traffic highlights. We are experiencing strong passenger growth. I mentioned in 2023, the record year of 77.8 million annual passengers, 13% increase. We have set records every month this year in 2024. Every month. And I believe June or July 7th was the all-time record for sort of a daily record of how many people came through the airport. Addressing inequities, we are at the forefront of addressing inequities in infrastructure. We have two examples here. The Equity and Infrastructure Project, or Pledge, was started at Den. It's grown into a national movement, and the mission is to build generational wealth and reduce the wealth gap by improving transportation contracting practices to create more prime joint venture and equity contracting opportunities for historically underutilized businesses. So this Equity and Infrastructure Pledge that is signed by CEOs around the country started with five CEOs, started with Den, and the kickoff was with five agency CEOs, and now that number is up to 75 around the country, all saying and committing to increase the number of minority, women-owned, veteran-owned primes, not subs. Subcontracting is great, but in order to create generational wealth in underserved communities, we must have, they must have, more prime contracts. And so we're at the forefront of that. And then, of course, the Center of Equity and Excellence in Aviation. I want to thank some of you were there for the groundbreaking in December of last year. This is a facility that is being built. It is a facility that has three distinct programs. One is creating career pathways for primarily young people in the aviation space. The other is a business development training academy that provides small businesses with a structured path to enter DEN as primes or subcontractors in the construction or professional services area. And the third is research and innovation, understanding what the mega trends are in the aviation space and looking at mitigation strategies to meet those. A little bit about our structure. This is the executive leadership structure. I won't go through each one of these, but we have a diverse executive leadership group, all of whom are at the top of their respective fields, and they represent DEN very, very well. At this point, I want to transition to Mike Nacornquette, who is our CFO, to give a little bit more detail on the 2025 budget. Mike.
Thank you, Phil, and good afternoon, council members. As Phil mentioned previously, the recommended budget for 2025 at Denver International Airport is $1.72 billion. This is a balanced budget where we can entirely support our expenses with our revenues. If you look at the breakdown of the revenue sources, which is on the left-hand side, you'll see that our 44% of our revenues will be coming from the airlines. And then the other sources, which we'll get into the breakdown a little bit later in this presentation, 34% will be coming from other sources not related to the airlines, like concessions and parking and rental cars and things like that. We also earn revenue from the hotel. We also earn revenues from what we call passenger facility charges, which are a charge that you pay when you buy an airline ticket. The airlines collect that on behalf and then remit that to us. And then we also earn customer facility charge revenues, which are fees that you pay when you rent a car at Denver International Airport. And then there are other sources as well. These revenues totally support the expenses, which you see on the left-hand side. And the expenses break down from operations and maintenance. That's 44% of our expenses. We also have debt service expenses. We partner with the Denver Department of Finance to manage our debt portfolio, which funds our ongoing capital development. This is the debt service that results from that, and we're including it in this number. We also have rent rental car related expenses and hotel related expenses. What we are projecting also is to earn net revenues in which we split a portion of that per our lease and use agreement with the airlines, and then the rest, or about $155 million is what we project, can be retained as Denver, as our discretionary revenue that we can use for any legal purpose related to the airport, and we will likely apply those to our ongoing capital plan projects. Next slide, please. This shows the historical trend in both expenses and revenues. If you look at the two charts on your right, we're showing the highest level of operating expenses and debt service in our history, but also if you look at the chart, upper chart on the left-hand side, it shows that we are earning the highest amount of revenues in our history as well, and that's supported by our passenger growth. As Phil mentioned, our forecast projects 85 million passengers to come through the airport, and that is an all-time record for us, and we plan to be able to support that level of passengers with the budget that we are appropriating. This budget also includes personnel addition of approximately 77 in our FTE count, which is shown on your lower left-hand side. Next slide, please. Our airline market share, we have a diverse and competitive mix of airlines at the airport. No one carrier has more than 50% share of market share at Denver International Airport. United has the highest at around 47%. Southwest has the second highest, and Frontier has the third highest. But in total, there is a good competitive mix of air service at Denver. And if you go to the next slide, the competitive mix results in competitive airfares. If we are to compare our average airfares for tickets that are bought out of Den compared to United and Southwest hubs across the country, Den is currently the lowest based on the statistics that we pulled in 2023. If you look at the operating costs, or unit operating costs, which we call cost per inflated passenger to the airlines, Denver is also in the lower half compared to this comparison set. Next slide, please. Our route network is expansive, so flying out of Denver, you have 221 destinations that you can go to nonstop, and that includes 190 domestic destinations and 31 and growing international destinations. Next slide, please. And the point that I wanted to make on this slide is, although we are subject to federal regulations, primarily from the FAA, at which how we can use our revenues, our budget does comprise several programs that are aligned with City Council priorities. If you start in the upper left hand to treat climate change, we have programs that include our energy performance contract, our solar arrays. We earned an award for our commitment to long-term growth for our lighting, runway lighting project. And then we also have programs that address electrification at the airport, which I have a slide on the next slide to address. To increase our access to physical and mental health, there's a wellness center that we have on site at Den with programs throughout the year to address investing in children, youth, and families. Our Center of Equity and Excellence in Aviation has programs where we support youth, partner with small businesses, and we're also studying a child care facility to be on site at the airport. And then lastly, for multimodal transportation, our planning team recently earned an award for the TDM, or Transportation Demand Management Plan, for a mobility study for Pena Boulevard. And then to specifically address electrification, we have programs that we are currently engaged in to electrify the busing fleet. About $11.5 million in the current capital plan addresses the electrification of our bus fleet. We also have a $5 million program to install charging stations that will support ground support equipment that are converting from diesel to electric on our airfield. And then we're also engaging in an electrification master plan to study the overall energy transition plan for the airport as a whole. And with that, I will turn it over to our Deputy CFO, Mike Neal, to cover the specific numbers.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, Council members. before we get into the strategic metrics that we want to maintain a strong financial position as we generate this budget. So we created several metrics that we have here that we want to go through pretty briefly with you, just to show the strength that we continue to have here at the airport. So as you can see, our gross concession revenues per in-plane passenger, which is the revenues we generate per passenger at the airport, continues to remain fairly strong. The reason for the increases that you see there is a lot of it has to do with the gate expansions that we had over the past couple of years, which increased concession spaces, and we've also had a lot of changes in concept over the concessions as well. As Mike indicated earlier, our airline cost per employment, which is one of our key metrics, continues to remain a very competitive rate. Our budgeted amount for 24 of those is $15 per CPE. We're anticipating that to actually come in less. So it still remains fairly competitive compared to all the other large hub airports. One of the key pieces for us, so from a finance end, and we're able to obtain good bond transactions and financing instruments, is we want to maintain a very good, strong bond rating. And our bond rating is the highest it's actually ever been at a AA minus. This allows us, similar to a personal credit score that you may have, the higher our rating, the higher your score, the better your interest rates are when you go to do a plan with that. Our debt service coverage ratio, which is taking that consideration our what we call our net revenues, which is our gross revenues less our O&M expenses divided by our debt. We want to maintain a level of over 1.4 internally, but our overall goal from our bond requirements is that we have to maintain 1.1% with that. So it's a very healthy rate, or a healthy metric we have there. And as Mike indicated earlier, we have a lot of international and domestic opportunities there as well. So next slide, please. So to get a little bit into the weeds of the budget, the overall operating revenue, which is one of the components that Mike brought up, is increasing roughly about 13% or 12% here. Big portion of that has to do with the airline's revenues, which is broken down into two components, landing fees and terminal rental rates. Landing fees are based on a rate that's charged to the carriers based on the per 1,000 pounds of the aircraft. It is a 100% residual, so all costs associated with the airfield have to be picked up as cost for the airlines. And then we have the facility rentals, which is a compensatory base that allows us to recoup some of the costs from the airlines as well, but that's based on a rented space that the airlines have there. The overall increase on that is driven partially by the O&M costs that we increase that we have in the budget for the year, but also the debt service costs associated with it, because it continues to increase. And 2025 was always going to be historically one of our largest debt service periods. Another piece of reason why it has gone up is under the stimulus funds that were issued a couple years ago during the pandemic, we were able to take those funds that we got, put it into a irrevocable escrow to help pay for future debt services, and that those funds will be fully exhausted in 2024. So 2025, we'll see an increase. The non-airline revenue, most of that on the commercial side, which consists of concessions along with public parking and rental car and ground transportation. The increase there is really driven mostly by the passenger traffic increase that we're anticipating as well. The aviation fuel tax, which you see a significant increase, really this increase is to put it more in line with what we've been experiencing in the past several years, which is a much larger tax revenue that's been generated. This tax is broken out into two different types. There is a city excise tax where the city gets 2 cents out of every 4 cents of gallon that's sold, and the airport then retains 2 cents after that. And then there's a state sales tax where the airport gets a portion of that as well. On the hotel side, the hotel continues to produce very well. We're anticipating an 89% occupancy rate for this next year. The hotel itself has certain requirements it has to meet on funding requirements. And it continues to meet those. In fact, in May of 2024, it hit all those key flow funds requirements that it had, and we're projected to do the same in 2025. Next slide, please. Another component of the revenue is our non-operating revenue. Mike brought up those components earlier, having to do with passenger facility charge, CFCs, and interest income. Most of this is also driven by some passenger increases, but there are some other nuances associated with it. Passenger facility charge, as Mike indicated, is a fee that is picked up and collected by the carrier that is charged every time you purchase an airline ticket. Those funds can only be used for specific FAA-approved projects and associated debt service with it. So those can only be used for specific purposes. Same with the CFC. It's collected from people who rent rental cars. It's based on a transaction day rental. And those funds can only also be used for facilities associated with the rental cars. That could be capital improvements as well as major maintenance of those facilities. And then interest income, the increase there is really due to the fact that we'll probably be doing some borrowing within the next year to help fund our capital project. Next slide, please. Our operating expenses, we're budgeting an increase of 13% on that. Personnel having an increase mostly due to the budgeted merit increase that is expected over the next year. Also, the airport is looking to add 77 new FTEs to help fund the overall operations of the airport. The internal service fund services, these are services that are provided by the city that the airport relies upon. The majority of these are police department, fire department, as well as some indirect costs that the city incurs and charges back to the airport. The increase on this, the major component to this increase, which I'll talk a little bit more or bring up a little later, is the under the police department, last year we had a one-time budget increase to help fund police academy course that was in existence, and then we wanted to make sure there was additional funding available going into 2025 as we continue to work with the police department on getting the academies started on that. Services supplies, there was an increase of 16%. We'll talk a little bit about that. But that's driven also by the passenger traffic increase, as most of those services are associated with passenger growth. And the hotel, although it's showing a reduction, really last year included and it's hard to believe the airport, the hotel is now 7 years old, but they have a program which after 7 years, they have to start replacing furniture and fixtures at the hotel. And so last year's budget actually included the use of those funds to help pay for those costs. And this just kind of gives you a historical view of the airport from a metric standpoint as to why the proposed budget has increased so much. 2019, prior to the pandemic, was a record year for a lot of things at the airport, including passenger traffic and landed weights, as well as we had our, we were just getting ready to start our newest capital project, our CIP plan, which expanded the concourses, adding additional 39 new gates on those concourses. So as you can see, going into 2024, we've far exceeded 2019 numbers, and we're still exceeding the prior numbers for 2023, which was a record year. So our forecast for 24 is we're actually going to get to about 82 million passengers at the airport. And we also, as you can see there, the significant increase of rentable space, and that has to do with the gate expansion that happened. Next slide, please. And for the services and supplies, the largest increase, as you see here, is the budget for the top contracts. This has to do mostly with our budget having to do with the janitorial services. As we continue to work on the cleanliness of the airport as part of our SOAP project that we have at the airport. Another component of that is also increasing our budget for AGTS as we continue to work on the maintenance of the train itself. And then increasing our budget having to do with snow removal both on the airside and landside, as we want to make sure that the operations of the facility continue to go so the aircraft can continue to take off. Another component to this is the increase in other, which looks pretty high. I know it's a unique category. Most of this actually has to do with snow materials as well. So it's coupled with the increase with the budget that we have for the snow removal process. And then city services, we talked a little bit about the police to increase that we have there. But also we have an increase in fire, and most of this has to do with the change of our firefighting foam, which can contain PFAS, which you don't ask me to pronounce that acronym or what it means, but it is a forever chemical. So we are transitioning from that chemical to a different firefighting foam now. And so part of that cost is we have to purchase the additional firefighting foam, but also clean the equipment as well associated with it. Next slide, please. And Phil mentioned this earlier, and this is not a part of the overall O&M budget, but we're in the process of implementing our current capital improvement plan. this capital improvement plan is extending an existing CIP that we had had that was 5 years and taking it all the way out to over 10 years and expanding on it to include several new projects on there. Those projects then will allow us to have capacity built up in order for us to achieve 100 million passengers by the time we need the facilities to meet that, but also continue to modernize the facilities itself and maintain the assets that we do have there. We do bring this, and we have brought this CIP up to biz committee. We'll continue to provide updates in the CIP, and we'll continue to bring action items having to do with the contracts and any kind of financing that we do with the Department of Finance to City Council as well. With that, I'll turn it back over to Phil.
Hour for the questions for members of council.
What was that again, Madam Chair?
I thought you were coming up to speak. We only have a half hour, so I just wanted to make sure that we left some time for council members to ask some questions.
No, no, I'm done.
So what they say? My bad. You know what they say about assumptions. Right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the presentation. We have Councilman Flynn on deck and then Councilwoman Sawyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Phil, on slide 10, greatly concerned about the near doubling of operating expenses over the last 4 years, almost double, 91-92%. If my household operating expenses had nearly doubled in 4 years, I'd be looking seriously at what's going on. What are the principal drivers of that pretty significant increase?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a number of things. One is the passenger growth that we've talked about. The other is the need for, as we age, the need for asset management. The airport facilities. And so it's a combination of those things. You have some specifics?
Yeah.
And I know that we haven't covered by revenue, but and the steep rise in operating expenses is concerning to me.
And Council Member Flynn, this slide is a bit deceiving because of where it begins. We went back 4 years, but then 2021 was the height of our pandemic. So that was a year where our expenses were the lowest because of the decline that we had to take in our operating expenses as we were handling the pandemic. If we had gone back further and shown 2019, that the difference wouldn't have been as severe.
Thank you. That prompts me to ask then, could you follow up and provide, and I'll send this to Angela, give us the 2019 numbers, the last full normal year before the pandemic? Thank you. Phil's second and last question is, on North Terminal, and I know this isn't part of this year's budget, but it's under discussion. I'm hoping that you'll commit to coming to council to keep us apprised of the plans, the master plan for North Terminal expansion, because it's fairly out of line, and I don't mean wrong, I mean just is out of direction with what the original plan for the airport was in the first place. And it's very dynamic, it's changing. But I would hate to have this body, and by this body, probably I mean my successor and Gilmore's and Cashman's, because we'll be gone. But in the future, I would hate to see DIA come to council with something already prepackaged and say, here it is, vote it up or down. But keep us involved along the way in the master planning process. I know that's not exactly our role, but it would be much easier on future councils to be kept up to date and not be caught in another Great Hall ferrovial debacle.
We are absolutely committed to coming to the council every step of the way as we think terminal expansion through. We briefed the biz committee on this probably about a couple of months ago on what we were thinking about, but absolutely yes.
Thank you. As it gets refined along the way. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
No, thank you. Thank you for sticking to two questions. Councilwoman Sawyer and then Councilwoman Alvidres.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, you guys. I am so grateful that you hired an asset manager. I know you've been working on the asset scan, which is well over 30,000 assets at our airport. Where are we in that process? Have we
completed that scan yet?
We are nearing completion of that scan. Typically, and this includes the conditional assessments that we're doing on assets as well, and we're working through that too by asset class.
Yeah, which, if you don't mind coming to Biz and talking through that for new council members, that would be amazing, but so grateful for that too.
Absolutely. No, this is a priority of ours. It is in our Vision 100 priorities. A lot of the CIP, the Capital Improvement Program, that we talked about, and the 2025 budget includes asset management and restroom refresh and all kinds of different
things. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to stop you there because that was my next question, right? Is, and we've had this conversation before because I need to get a life, but every time I enter the airport, I like count the number of assets that are out between when I walk in the door of the airport and when I walk onto an airplane. The worst it ever was 27. And it's, I'm not talking about like electric things. I'm talking about like conveyances and doors and toilets and sinks and those kinds of things. So you have on slide 23 bathroom refresh. I'm going to push back on you and say a refresh is not enough for those bathrooms that are in our old terminals. It is the number one complaint we hear from our residents about the airport other than Peña Boulevard, is that those bathrooms are old and need to be demolish and restarted. So when you say refresh, what does that mean?
Installing is coming up.
Thanks.
Right now.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, so on the restroom refresh, what we're really looking to do is on the new expansion areas, you know, those bathrooms are beautiful. We're looking to modernize the old bathroom. So we'll be going through taking out all the fixtures, all the dividers, all the everything in there and rebuilding it. So when we say refresh, it's not just putting a new coat of paint. It will be replacing everything that's there. So this year we've worked and we've completed the design on that. We'll look to get into construction next year.
Awesome. I'm like, you have made my whole week. You have no idea. But to follow up on that, can you tell me where that is in the budget book? Because we've had this conversation for 5 years. Thank you for your grace in putting up with me. You always say, like, it's in the operations and maintenance part. Well, where, right? Or if it's going to be in the capital part, then where? Like, it's very hard to track. We don't budget programmatically. So it's very hard to track where the amount of dollars you are putting towards that project this year is located in this budget book.
Councilwoman, sorry, we might have to follow up on that.
And that's okay, yeah.
The restroom refresh is part of the capital improvement plan, but the budget book addresses our operating budget expenses.
Okay.
So we can follow up with a more itemized a chart of capital improvement plan budget to show.
Yeah, or come to Biz and let us know about the whole capital improvement plan now that it's been expanded. That would be fantastic. I will say your answer then, and I want to say it back to you to make sure I understand it, is that no longer are those kinds of projects coming out of our maintenance budget in our operations side. They are now coming out of our capital budget on the capital side. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was not the case
before.
Before.
It depends. So there are items where on a day-to-day basis you might have to go in and replace a light bulb, change it out a toilet, and things like that, which are part of the operation.
Sure.
Because our maintenance team goes in and does that. But then as far as the overall going and refreshing the entire bathroom, correct, it is part of the capital budget.
Awesome. Okay, thank you guys so much. I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
So much, Councilwoman Alvidres, and then Councilwoman Parity.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Washington, for being here. Thank you for your leadership on the small business and economic development front. I really appreciate those opportunities, and also thank you for your service in the military. My question, as I look at how independent, you know, the airport is, I think there's two things. One thing that I learned on my tour, which is that if there's an emergency, you all are calling our 911 system, which serves the whole city. And so I'm curious if there's ever been thoughts of creating your own emergency 911 system for the airport.
Yeah, Dave LaPorte, front and center.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So we actually do have a secondary PSAP at the airport. So we work closely with downtown 911. But the calls that we get for airport emergencies come into our airport emergency operations center where we then dispatch.
And I think that's what I learned. And so to me, it was concerning that your emergency center is then calling 911. I mean, for my residents, it takes hours for people to get there. So I guess I'm concerned about if there is an emergency.
We do not call 911.
You do not call 911.
No, we
you
have dispatch from the airport.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yep.
The second thing, and this might be for someone else, I'm assuming, is that I just ran into Maria Empanadas in the hall, and they're really excited about opening with you all. But something I continue to hear from construction companies to small businesses in the airport is the planning process. And so I'm curious if you've ever explored like starting your own planning department and approval process, because the airport is so unique.
We do have planners at the airport. The permitting function may be what you're alluding to, and that is part of the city services. We are working with the new executive director for planning right now. We see a lot of improvements right now in the permitting process, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. Councilmember Parity and then Councilman Watson.
Awesome, thank you so much. If you guys need me, it's because of my butler, and I'm not actually kidding. He was running around pretending to be an airplane last night, like going hours. Because we recently went through Den, and he loves it there. Not even kidding. So I wanted to first ask a question related to all of your climate programs. I see you guys doing a really, really good job on your scope 1 and 2 emissions, with solar, energy efficiency of your buildings, the infrastructure, the charging, all of those things. And I also have been really encouraged by some of the PFAS cleanup that you all are doing. So I want to recognize that and at the same time sort of say that Scope 3 emissions are just such a massive climate change issue. We are a city council that oversees an airport. That is a huge portion of Denver's overall contributions to climate change. I have tried to learn a little bit more about sustainable aviation fuel and kind of the progress of that, both kind of from a technology point of view and like a market point of view, and just have the understanding that it's not quite viable yet, right? And that much of what is made gets snapped up by California because they have state regulatory systems that cause that to happen. So I would love to know more about your thoughts about the Scope 3 emissions and where, if anywhere, you see any room for kind of progress or improvement there, which I know is a hard and non-DEN specific question.
Yeah, well, I'll start with sustainable aviation fuel. We are prepared to move forward with any types of pilots that are out there with the airlines. You mentioned California. California is a little bit ahead of the rest of the country on SAF, but we have communicated with the various airlines that if there are pilots that they want to do around SAF, we are willing to. We want to be the airport to do that. And so we envision some technological advances around SAF in the next few years. We want to be a part of that, and we have sent that message.
That's good, and I believe that's true for what it's worth. Like, I think you guys are extremely sincere about that and have taught me a lot about it. Two things that I think might be immediately helpful with that, and you all probably know this, but one thing is that in talking to all of the SAF experts at the various airlines, it sounds like there's not kind of a continuing like table or meeting between those folks and someone and Scott, I assume, at DEN, to just convene regularly and talk, come up with ideas and things like that. I think that would be really helpful because we have so many hubbing airlines. And then the other thing is that if there was any kind of thought that DEN would be willing to help lobby our state legislature to try to, incentivize, I think that would be wonderful because I think that would help us compete with California. And I think, I imagine many of my fellow council members would be interested in helping push the legislature in that direction as well. So those are two things I would love to talk more about and, any way that we can help. So thank you for that. And I'll just leave it there because I feel like that was like three questions instead of one. Should I get a cookie? Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, girl.
Thank you so much. Councilman Watson, and then Pro Tem Romero Campbell.
Yes, I love the council member parity role because you say two questions, she's out the subset B, C, and D. But they're always very profound questions and to the point. CEO Washington, I want to say thank you so much for your leadership and that of Den. It is, I mean, I think we take for granted that we have one of the country's best run, fastest growing, most efficient airports in the country and becoming one of the best run in the world. And so that's a lot of intentionality, a lot of work. And I at least wanted to start off by saying thank you, you and your team, for the great work that you do. Building on Councilmember Flynn's initial question about expense, I wanted to go specifically to page 19 in your presentation on aviation operating expense. My curiosity is around kind of, is there a mean or average for similar airports as far as that expense ratio? We're at 13.5. I'm curious if, how does that stack up, stand up to where other airports that we are not competing with, but we're normally compared to?
We can look into the different other airports, but a lot of the key metrics that we look at in comparison to the other airports really has to do with the cost per employment, because that is such a key impact to what the carriers are paying to the airport. So keeping that within a comparable range compared to the other airports is a critical piece. And one of the things we want to make sure is with this increase in growth of O&M costs, a lot of this is associated with that passenger growth that we saw. The percentages are fairly consistent. We are going up 13% here, and our passenger growth from budget last year is also like a 12% growth. So we try to keep those as much consistent as possible.
And so you would say within the mean, that is kind of comparable airports, we are not below, we are averaging around with others.
Correct.
Yeah. And I would add one more thing to that. We are the fastest growing large hub airport in the country. So when we talk about that, you know, that, you know, we're built for or designed for 50 million, and this growth that we are seeing, we're still the largest large hub in terms of growth. And so to be right in the middle, you know, at that 13%, while we're growing, probably outgrowing any, you know, the large hub airports, is pretty significant.
That's a great point, sir, and it kind of rolls to my follow-up question. This may be a capital improvement question that's going to go to Biz, but I'll throw it out just in case. This is something that we can speak to. Based on that growth, we're expecting $100 million in the next, on average, in the next several years. When we consider emergency preparedness, business continuity process for folks moving from concourse to concourse, what's the thought process as far as the cost for alternative modes for folks to get from gate to gate? Let's say our new passenger trains are not able to connect, or there is an emergency that's impacting the ability of the trains. I know there's been some ideation on connecting between concourses. I was curious about that, and if there is spend maybe attached to that possibility.
Well, let me start by saying that the train, we have had challenges with the train from concourse to concourse. I mean, that's pretty well publicized. We have money in the capital improvement plan to improve the train. The train is up about 99.5% of the time, but as I mentioned to my ops people, that 0.5 is freaking chaos. And so we want 100%, obviously. But we are improving the guideway and the track infrastructure, which is usually the issue. We have new trains coming in as well. And we're looking at ways to create redundancy for the trains to the concourses. And our plan is to come back to the biz committee and talk about the ideas. Now, 2 years ago, we put out a request for ideas, or an RFI, and we asked the private sector for their ideas on redundancy for the train to the concourses. We got some really great ideas. and we look forward to coming back to the biz committee to talk about those ideas for primarily redundancy and sustainability as well.
Thank you, CEO Washington. The redundancies are important as we continue growing for emergency preparedness and just ease of use. So I appreciate it. I look forward to hearing it in biz committee. Thank you, committee chair.
Thank you so much. And Mayor Kim. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad to make this flight today. Sorry, we have a queue. Everybody's been on this flight to talk, so.
Secrets. Yeah. Keep our secrets.
We have a queue to get into the questions. It was just, I was on standby, so I'm on the floor. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the presentation and so much of what you do. And thank you for the question, because I have that one answered of where the terminal train is. That's one of the questions that I actually get a lot of questions about, of where do we, kind of like, what is the status for the terminal train right now? Is this the long-term strategy, or is it just a fix-it?
We want the concourse, terminal to concourse, we want that train to be the best that it can be. That's number one. And then number two, we want some redundancy. And so we're working both paths right now. So the train is not the end all be all. The train is sort of the first option, and then we're gonna bring to you some ideas on what the long-term plan is for redundancy. We wanna bring that to biz committee in the coming months.
Less of a question, more of a statement. I just also want to recognize and elevate the work that's being done with SIA. And I think the innovation that the airport has had, or that Den has had, in thinking forward, not just the what you're doing, but the how you do it, and that pipeline of really getting in minority and women-owned businesses, and thinking about the pipeline and the future of young people and basically anyone within the aviation field. I think that is something that is really very unique and very commendable for the airport. So very excited about that. I just wanted to say that on record. That and the CATS program too. Love those pets.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're the best. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Well, if I could say one thing about that SIA, we're very, very proud of it. It's the first of its kind in the entire country. We want people from all over the world to come here to recruit the best talent, at least in aviation, and then other infrastructure modes as well. And so while the brick and mortar is not yet complete for the center, we have already started the curriculum on career pathways, the curriculum ongoing on Business Development Training Academy, research and innovation as well. We were very instrumental in getting language in the FAA reauthorization for the research of megatrends. That came from DEN to fund the study of megatrends around aviation. And so we're very, very proud of what we're doing around that center.
I think it's so important not only to recruit and to locally grow our own too, yes. Right? We want to grow our own and keep people here as well. So, thank you.
That's all the folks in the group. Cute. So, unless anyone has anything else.
Oh, there you go.
Well, just a statement, Phil. Even in light of my observations about operating expenses, I think the chart that shows the average ticket price at DIA, the cost per employment. I remember when this was being developed and the bonds were sold and they were close to junk bond status, mm-hmm. because we had no airline agreement with anyone, that predictions were being made that this airport would go belly up in 5 years, that would greatly exceed $20 per employment, which would have allowed United to pull out of its agreement entirely. It never got close to that. But 50 years ago, I flew out here on my honeymoon with my late first wife, and to vacation and to honeymoon in the Colorado Mountains. And from Philadelphia to here, that's what I paid 50 years ago for an airline ticket when the airline industry was regulated. And it's amazing that 50 years from now, or 50 years later, that's basically the average ticket price out of Denver. The predictions were that people wouldn't be able to fly out of here. So I think it's been well managed up until now. And I don't mean it's not now, but I'm not predicting the future. I'm not predicting the future. I'm just saying that it's been a well managed project. I do have those concerns about North Terminal, as I think we all should follow it along on a regular basis, because it's going to radically change what the airport looks like and how it operates. But I just wanted to make note of that, that over the 50 years that I've been coming out here and now lived here for 43 of them, that average ticket price just blows my mind.
And if I could comment on that.
Please do.
I think cost per enplanement is a metric that is very, very important that all of you should pay attention to, right? Because that is the attraction for the airlines to continue to grow here. We keep our cost per enplanement down. That is a good thing. And the competitiveness in terms of the airline percentage at this airport. Mike talked about we have a sort of a competitive mix. No one is over 50%. You get somebody over 50%, they try to run the airport. So this is a very, very important matter. I do want to just show the budget book, our budget book. We will pass this out right now. It has great great stats and great pictures of all of us in it.
Captain Lewis, thank you so much for this. I just have a quick question, because I know, and it might be a little contentious, but there was a bill that was coming through the legislature, and it was specifically towards Den, but it was around compliance with ADA requirements and things like that. Just wondering, and if I'm sorry, I apologize if I missed it in the presentation or in all the paperwork, but just wondering, are there funding allocated to ensure that Den is in compliance with ADA requirements, getting people through the airport? I understand that some of those things are to the airlines and some of them are to the airport, and just wanting to make sure, are those things going to be met?
Absolutely. We have dedicated funding for accessibility, ADA, that is the law. And so we are very, very, that is one of our top priorities, the accessibility part of this. Everything that we build, the new projects are all accessible. They're LEED certified. They will be LEED certified, which means that they are at the highest level in terms of environmental and sustainability. But absolutely, yes, we have to maintain good accessibility at the airport, and we do that.
And I'll probably just submit some follow-up questions about that that are maybe more specific or asking for more specific details. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.